Jesus, Rosh HaYeshiva. Tak is a shchus for me to be able to speak to you, especially now. Two reasons. One is for the last 8.5 months I've never voice. I had a paralyzed vocal cord, and I spoke, but that didn't sound like me. And Baruch Hashem, the last few weeks, the Rebbe Mishal gave me back my voice. So I'm very happy to be able to use it here. I was supposed to come here and speak before Shavuos, but for whatever reason it didn't work out. I think I'd rather speak Taka right now before Chof Tammuz is a much more auspicious time. And it's a tremendous simcha to see a yeshiva taka that has Masorah, and specifically any Masorah today is very strange. People following any Masorah, everybody makes up their own things. And the Masorah that I have a kesher with is even closer to me, so it's a very special place here. Very, you should realize that. You have a kesher to a Rosh Yeshiva who has a kesher to his Rebbe and his father, and the kesher to his Rebbe, who happens to be my Rebbe too, all the way back to the Rebbeim, Yastim of Telzer Yeshiva, which has a derech in Klal Yisrael. That's a very, very special derech. So not too many Bachrim today have yeshivas to give them a derech. They give him a Rebbe. And here, the derech is that you should have a Rebbe. And you should have a Hadrocha. And you should have a Masorah. So you are Ashreich. You should realize it. Sometimes people don't realize what they have. No saying Matana Tova Lechaveir or Tzorech Lodia. So I'm being Yotze, being Modiach. I wanted to speak about two points that I think the Kedoshim represented, both in the Tkufa that closed the Sefer of Tells in Lita, and the Tkufa that opened the Sefer in Tells in America. And I want to start a little bit with something from the introduction of the Shurei Das from the Grai that depicts what happened those last 3 weeks in the life of the Rosh HaYeshiva in Tells before Chof Tammuz. This was probably right away in the beginning of Tammuz. So it brings here that the SS, the Nazis, came on Shabbos, and they lined up the Yidden from Tells, and the Rosh HaYeshiva and Rabbonim were put in the front lines, and they were mocking them and making fun of them. And here he doesn't mention what we've heard in the yeshiva many times, that the German officer, after hitting the Telzer Rosh HaYeshiva, Rav Yitzchak Bloch, Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh Livracha, with the butt of his rifle, and then he said to him, Herr Rabbiner, where's your God? He's obviously abandoned you. And the Telzer Rosh HaYeshiva, with great discipline, answered back, it's not only my God, it is your God too, and the day will come and the whole world will recognize that. Tremendous amount of shlita, of kochas hanefesh, of malchus, of being able to rule over yourself. And so on, he describes here what they went through. They were oblivious to what the Germans were doing. They were being osik and being making themselves to die al Kiddush Hashem. The entire shtut, he ignored the Germans completely and spoke to the Kehillah. And when the German hinted to him that they were going to take target practice on them, so he told them, Rabosai, the Telzer Rosh HaYeshiva got up and he told the people there, and many of them were not frum. They were communists. The communists took a big toll on Yidden. And he told them, look, you know, the matzav is very, very, very dangerous. We don't know what's going to be. Now's the time to mechazik ourselves, mekabel on ourselves, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha, and the entire people there, hardened communists, mekabel on themselves, at least died mitoch tshuva shleim. And he describes the tremendous gvuras hanefesh, people who knew they were to be killed any day, any minute. And he had the Tzelz Rosh Yeshiva, after they made them run and run and run until they had no koach anymore. So he had his daughter who was there with him, Reb Tzon Osban, she should be well, read to him the Rambam, Hilchos Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. They should be able to, what's it called, to learn through those halachas before they were killed. The point I want to bring out from this is something that the Shurei Das speaks about, and that's the concept of Malchus. It brings a medrash that when Yosef and Yehuda were arguing over Binyamin, so the medrash says, Malachim medainim zeh zeh onu malonu. Two kings are arguing, we're not going to get our heads mixed in amongst these kings. So Tzelz Rosh Yeshiva asks, Lachar, I understand Yosef was a Sheni Lemelech. Right? He ruled over thousands and thousands of people in Egypt. But Yehuda was a king. How many people did he rule over? Nine people. Right? Nine brothers. That makes him a king. How could you compare him to Yosef? Malachim medainim zeim zeh. So he says that the ikur of Malchus is not how many people you rule over. Because ultimately, then you are dependent on the will of the people. And he brings down that the last czar of Russia never slept more than 15 minutes in a room at night because he was afraid he was going to be assassinated. In the end, he was assassinated. But in order that the assassin shouldn't find him, every 15 minutes they would wake him up and move him to another room in his palace. So they wouldn't know where he was more than 15 minutes at a time. That's a king. It's an epic. And yet he ruled over millions and millions and millions of people. A king is somebody who rules over himself. And then he's fit to be a king over others. And the truth is, the Kuzri says that. The Kuzri says, the Melech HaKuzarim asked the Chacham who was teaching him, describe for me a tzaddik. So the Chacham says, a tzaddik is someone who provides his servants everything they need in the exact measure they need it, so that when he needs to call upon them to serve him, they're there to serve him. So the Melech said, I think you misunderstood me. I asked you to describe a tzaddik and you described the king. So the Chacham said, a tzaddik is a king. A tzaddik is somebody who provides for all his kochos hanefesh, all of his abilities, capabilities, talents, emotions, and he provides for them that when he needs to call upon them and use them, that they're there to do his service. Each one is provided with what it needs. That's the Emes HaMelech, and that's why Chazal say, Man Malki Rabbanah. That's Malachim. That's Malchus. The Ibn Ezra, the parish of Nazir, says a Nazir has, lets his hair grow, it's like a keser, like a crown on his head. Why does he deserve a crown? Because somebody who has the koach to be sholeit on his tivus, that's Malchus. Malchus means control over yourself, self-control. That's what a melech is. So the Medrash says, Marosa Esther, Medrash starts, Rabbi Akiva Hayadoresh, Bikshu HaTalmidim Lanamnim. Rabbi Akiva was giving it to Russia, and his Talmidim started to go to sleep. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. And he wanted to wake them up. So he said, Marosa Esther, Shemol Chalmei of the Esther Mesheva Medinos, Elatovo Esther, Basbita Shal Sora, Shechoy Shamei of the Esther Mesheva Shonim, Betimlo Chalmei of the Esther Mesheva Medinos. Let Esther, the great-great-granddaughter of Sari Meinu, who lived 127 years, rule over 127 Medinas. So they all woke up, and the Kesher between Sari's 127 years and Esther's 127 Medinas, and Rabbi Kiva went on. What's a pshat? He's thinking of pshats like this. There's a Mifta Meliyot, if you want to look it up, he says a pshat in this medrash. They say they're different pshats. Sari Meinu didn't just live 127 years. 127 years happened to pass over her. But Chazal say, Shnei Chai Sarah Kulam Shavim L'Tovah. What does that mean? All of Sarah Imenu's life was equally good? It's not true. The 90 years she didn't have children wasn't equally good with the 37 years she had Yitzchak. The night she was dragged to Paro or Avimelech wasn't equally good with the day they celebrated Yitzchak's bris. There obviously was a difference between them. Chazal didn't say Kulam Shavim Bitova. They said Kulam Shavim Litova. Sarah Imenu was the ultimate Malka. She was able to control every situation and use it for the good. She never lost control over herself. She never let the situation get the better of herself. She ruled over herself, ruled over her life, and she was the quintessent Malka. Esther HaMalka aspired to be like that, to have that Koach HaMalchus. And the Mela, she was Zocha to rule over 127 Medinas. Rabbi Akiva told his Talmidim, yeah, it's not easy to sit up for a shir. It's not easy to halkop. It's not easy to stay awake. But if you're a melech, if you have malchus, you're in control, then you can do it. Esther did it, Sarah Imenu did it, and we have it in our kochus to do it too. Mosay yagiu maisel, maisel avosa. Say nechanami, it's not easy. Nothing is easy in this world. But if you know how to control yourself, if you know how to rule over your kochus, then you can stay up too, even if it's difficult. And a person has to be able to mamish be sholet. That's real malchus, is to be sholet on every emotion. Emotions just don't happen. They happen because you know that they should happen and you make them happen. It's a combination. The body of a person has to have emotions. It can't be a machine and a robot. But the emotions aren't hefker. And the Torah determines when you use an emotion and when not. I'll give you two mashalim. The Gemara says that when the Tzedukim became a power in Klal Yisrael, and there were Kohanim Gedolim that were appointed from the Tzedukim by the Romans, so the Chachamim had a big problem. Because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right, does the Avodah, Lifnai V'Lifnim, nobody's there, nobody sees what he's doing. And if he's a Tzedukim, he may do it Shalokadi. He may do it the way that Tzedukim. To first put the Torah on the fire outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and bring it in. And nobody will be able to know and stop it. And the whole Avodah will be possible. So, Erev Yom HaKippurim, Mashbi and Kohen Gadol, he used to make the Kohen Gadol take a Shvuah, that he would do the Avodah, right, Al-Das HaRabim, so he couldn't be Matar the Nether, and the Tzedukim also held of Nedarim, so he had no choice, he had to do it the right way. And then the Gemara says, the Achar Ka, Hu Poreshu Boche, the Heim Poreshu Boche. And after they made him take the Shvuah, they both cried. The Beis Din cried that they had to be Choshe to Kohen Gadol, that he's a Tzedukim. And the Kohen Gadol cried that they were choshed him to be a Tzeduki. Everybody was crying. The Ramban, when he brings down this halacha, brings it down, Mamash Tei Gemara says, Erev Yom HaKippurim, Mashbinas HaKohen Gadol, Shiyaz HaSavoda Kitikuna, the Achar Kach, Hu Poreshu Bocha, the Hein Poreshu Bocha. So they ask Bechara, the Rambam is a safer halacha. Right? He's not telling us what happened in history. Mestama also, it only happened the first year. First year that Rechosha, the Kohen Gadol, was a tremendous, tremendous emotional thing. But after 200 years, 300 years, it became Keseder. This was the order of Erev Yom Kippur, so they did it, Keseder. No reason to cry anymore. This became the Seder Advarim. The Rambam is telling me that no, this is a time to cry. When Rechosha, the Kohen Gadol, to be a Tzeduki, and the Kohen Gadol is next to be a Tzeduki, it's a time for the Beis Din to cry, and it's a time for the Kohen Gadol to cry. And the Halacha tells you when to cry. And the Halacha also tells you when not to cry. Also to cry on Shabbos or whatever. Halacha can tell you when to cry. We're crying. Crying is something that happens by itself. No, it doesn't. If you're a Melech, if you have Shlita, then you know when to cry. And if you don't feel like crying, it makes no difference. You have to cry. This is the time to cry. Says that after all the ma'oros that the brothers went through by Yosef, finally he reveals himself to them. We find Yosef crying, but doesn't say the brothers cry. Chorev, anybody should have cried. Jim and the brothers, not Yosef. He knew whatever he knew what was going on. He wrote the script. He knew what was coming. They were the ones who were surprised. So why didn't they cry? All this time they didn't cry. Because they also were malachim. They also had malchus. Yosef knew exactly what the matzav was, and therefore he knew it's a time to cry. The brothers weren't yet, they were mesupik. They were going a lot of kashas they had. So immediately, it's time to cry, without knowing for sure that this is a time to cry, they don't cry. And then later on, it was too late. The emotion went away. So halacha determines when a person uses his emotions and when not. You have to be an emotional person. But the emotions don't rule you. You rule over the emotions. That's Malchus HaTorah. That's what a real Tzelem Elokim is. In one respect, Tzelem Elokim, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is to the world, a person's neshama is to his little world. Where each one's an olam katan. And just like the Ribbono Shel Olam has total shlita over all the olamos, so a person has to have shlita over his total olam too. And everything that's in his little olam, he's an olam katan, has to be under that shlita of the person. And not stam hefker. It's not only when to use the kochos, but also to identify the various kochos and to be able to use them, the dake dakas. So das also brings down this inyan by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva once, by accident, saw the wife of Tunis Rufus HaRasha. So at the same time, he laughed and he spit and he cried. So Moses says, why? He laughed because he saw that one day he's going to marry her. She's going to convert and she's going to be his wife. He spit because she at this point was an ovedus of a resort. And he cried that one day she was going to die and the beauty that she had would be swallowed up by the earth. All at the same time. Three completely different kochos. But Rabbi Akiva was able to be sholeit on his kochos to a point where he was able to mavair each one and know how much of each one to use at what time. That's a melech. That's malchus. There's no situation that a person can get in where his emotions and his kochos rule over him. He rules over them. There's another thing. Once you are a melech over your emotions and over your kochos, you have to raise them, sublimate them, and be mekadosh them, and use them for a higher reason than just to stand the emotion itself. Yaakov Avinu was nesoir to a tremendous emotion of ava for Yosef when he first saw him after 22 years. That's what he did. He took that tremendous emotion of ava and he directed it towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, called a Kriyat Shema. Yahavtos Hashem Elokecha. He had that tremendous emotion well up with him. So now use it for something. Instead of using it just on Yosef, he raised it up and used it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. By Rachel Imenu, we find a similar thing. Rachel is in danger of dying. She's giving birth to her second child, Binyamin. And she's probably bleeding, hemorrhaging, and she's going to go into shock. So the midwife wants to calm her down. That's what you do to somebody that's Rachman Ritzlan, is losing blood, to go into shock. So you try to keep them quiet and calm them down so they don't go into shock. So the midwife wants to calm Rachel Imenu down. Now, if you were the midwife, here's a woman losing blood, and you have to calm her down, what would you tell her? Don't worry, you're going to pull through, you'll dance at the child's chasana, everything's going to be okay. That's what I would tell her. You know what the midwife tells her? Al tiri, don't worry. Higam zeh loch ben. It's a boy. Her, at that moment, Rachel Imenu is worried about whether she's going to live or not. What difference did it make if it was a boy, a girl, or a giraffe? But that's what the midwife tells her. Don't worry, it's a boy. We're giving out cigars. What? The woman's dying. Tell her she's going to pull through. But the midwife knew that Rachel Imenu wanted children for the highest reason. Not stam, because people want children. She wanted a child because she wanted to build Klal Yisrael. She wanted to add another shevet. And therefore, if it was a boy, it was another shevet, it was worth dying for. And if it wasn't another boy, and it wasn't another shevet, stam, another child, then it wasn't worth living for. So the midwife knew, telling Rachel Imenu, don't worry, you're going to pull through, you're going to live, wouldn't make any difference to her. She wants to know one thing. Right? I wanted this because I want to build Klal Yisrael. And that will make me Ragua. Nothing more. So a person can have tremendous emotions, but he can raise them up also in Avodas Hashem. By Avraham Avinu we find, by Yavo Avraham, Lispo Vesara Velivkos. The order is not right. Should have said, by Yavo Avraham, Livkos Vesara Velaspita. First you cry, and then you're maspid. But Avraham Avinu held back his crying. He didn't want to cry for Sara because his wife died. Anybody cries because their wife dies. Avraham Avinu wanted to cry because Sara Imenu died. So first he was maspid her, and he understood very clearly what he lost and what the world lost, and then he cried for that. But stop to cry, because my wife died, there's a reason to cry. But my wife happened to be Sara Imenu, there's a greater reason to cry. So I'm going to hold off my crying until I maspid her, and then I'll cry because much higher reason than just stam because somebody's wife died. And then there's another shlash. From Kedoshe tells the way they died, the way the Makabel Gzeira Shamayim, Mamash like Asor Aruge Malchus, with tremendous, tremendous Malchus, tremendous control, tremendous discipline, everything L'Shem Shamayim. The opening of the book of Tells in America that was built on the ashes, the Eish Hitzati, the Eish and the Osi Livnosa, applies here too. The Tells of Shiva by the Meir Bloch, Zatzal, when he heard that his family had been killed and the yeshiva had been destroyed, they didn't know. They left Tells many, many months before the Churban came. They knew the Nazis were on the way. They were hoping that they would not conquer Lithuania, and they were going to America to transfer the yeshiva to America, just like Mir transferred to Shanghai. They were hoping to transfer Tells to America, everybody, move them all, bring them over. When they left Lithuania, the Nazis, a few months later, conquered Lithuania, and then that was the end. And they had no contact. They didn't know what was going on. There was no contact at all. There were rumors, they heard, they didn't know. And finally the terrible news reached them that on Chof Tammuz, or some, and Chof Elul by the women, they were what's it called, most of them lost all their families, their wives, their children, Rav Meir, Zatzal, and Rav Mata. And after the Zman of Avelis, so the first shmuz that the Rav Meir gave, he said the following. The Shiver of Gifter used to say it over to Seder with a hosaka they're going to tell you to. It says by David and Yonason that Yonason is going to check to see if Shaul still wants to kill David, to know that if David can come back or he has to run away. So he leaves David hiding out in the forest, and he goes home to eat Sudas Rosh Chodesh. And the first day, Shaul knows his David's not there, but he said, okay, it's Mustama, it's what's it called, something, it's Tomei, whatever, he couldn't come. Second day, he's not there, he realizes that he wants to kill him, and he's avoiding it. Right? Because Shaul had intention of killing David. So Shaul says to Yonason, he suspects that he had something to do with this, he tipped David off. So he gets very mad at Yonason, and he's ready to beat him. And Yonason realizes that there's no hope, that David has to stay away from Shaul because Shaul's going to kill him. Comes back, and he makes up a sign with David. Right? I'm afraid maybe my father sent spies, and if you come out, they're going to catch you. So stay in hiding, and I'm going to send my boy to fetch an arrow that I shoot. And if I tell him the arrow is beyond you, right, then leich kishilachach Hashem, then you'll know that's the sign that Shaul still wants to kill you, and you better run because the Rebbe Mishlam sent you. So the Rebbe Meir, what are you talking about? Leich kishol rotzal hargecha. The reason he's running is not because the Rebbe Mishlam sent him anywhere. It's because Shaul HaMelech wants to kill him. So he should have said leich
ki shol mevakesh lo yecha. What's leich ki shilachecha Hashem? Where's the Rabbanu Shem saying?
But that's what Yonasan was telling David. Things don't just happen in this world. And if something forces you to do something, then it's the Rabbanu Shem's voice, not Shaul HaMelech. The Rabbanu Shem wouldn't let Shaul HaMelech do something if he didn't want it to happen. And therefore, if you see circumstances are pushing you in a certain way, then understand that that's a shlichus from the Rabbanu Shem. So too, the mayor said, we could think it's the Nazis that put us in this predicament, and now we're in America, and it's all a result of what the Nazis did. It's not true. It's leich ki shilachecha Hashem. The Nazis were only a pretext. But somehow the Rabbanu Shem wanted us to be where we are, and we have a shlichus now. And we have to be mamshech, the zikaron, of what Telz was, and what these kedoshim were. And we're going to set up a yeshiva, and that's going to be a pshara, but it's going to be mamish to magzer ator yoshin. And they felt a tremendous shlichus, and because of that they were matzliach. That's how a person has to be. The shiver of gifters itself. To say on Parshas Vayetze, the Torah says Vayetze Yaakov Iber Sheva Vayelech Haran. It sounds like, you know, Yaakov Avinu decided he made plans for a trip, and Vayetze Yaakov. The Navi says clearly what happened over there. Vayivrech Yaakov, stay on. He's running away. Esau wants to kill him. He's not making a conscious, willful trip. He's running. Vayivrech Yaakov. So why does the Torah say Vayetze Yaakov? Because any phenomenon. The Sheba was Vayivrech Yaakov. That's what the Navi says. But the Torah says, but once Yaakov knew he had to run away, he didn't run. He went because the Rabbanu Shlom obviously is sending him on a shlichus. Esav is the derech. That's only a kli. But it's the Rabbanu Shlom behind it that permitted Esav to force him to run. If he's going, it's because the Rabbanu Shlom is sending him, not because what you call he has to run. And a person has to be able to hear that shlichus in everything. The Hakadama to Matan Torah is Vayishma Yisro. Mashmua Shomo Bo Kriyas Yamsu for Melchemes Amalek. Why is that the Hakadama to Matan Torah? Because Zohar says Vechi Yisro Levado Shomo. Yisro is the only one who heard these things. The whole world heard them. Shomo Ami Mugazin. Everybody heard Kriyas Yamsu. Everybody heard about Melchemes Amalek. So, and not only Yisro heard it, but Yisro heard it and it made an impression on him. And the rest of the world heard it and made no impression. Before Matan Torah, before you can hear the Torah, you have to know how to listen. Because the Rabbanu Shem could speak all he wants, but if you don't know how to listen, it's a waste of time. So the Torah was Matan Torah, with Vayishma Yisro, so you learn from Yisro how to listen. Other people heard too, but they didn't listen. Didn't pay attention. Didn't hear what was going on. And therefore they missed the point completely. But Yisro understood. He listened to what was going on. And a person, if he listens well, can hear the Dvar Hashem and the Shlichus of the Rabbanu Shem and everything. So it's Kol Hashona Halachos B'chol Yom Niftach Lo Shuben Olam Habo Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo Atikra Halichos Ela Halachos. Sounds very easy. All you have to do is learn two halachas a day, and you're vader ben olam haba. Doesn't mean you have to mekayim them. Just learn them. Right? Only two. So it's pretty easy to get into olam haba. And it's not just kol yisrael yeshlo b'chelek olam haba, it's a ben olam haba. The difference between a ben olam haba and kol yisrael yeshlo b'chelek olam haba is that Tosfos says a ben olam haba is without yeshurim. You're assured, getting easy. Otherwise, call yourself Yisrael Chelek, but it may take a lot of Yisrael to get that thing. Think of another thing. The world says, why is a person who's a ben baal mitzvah, and when it comes to aveira, he's a baal aveira? Why are you a baal aveira and a baal mitzvah? So the world says, a ben is a relationship that can never be broken. It's a metzias. Even after the father dies or the son dies, they're still father and son. There's a mitzvah kibbut avraim afilu lachamisa. My saint in a bow, if the bow dies, that's it. There's no more kedusha. The woman's mortgage is a penuya again. If the woman dies, there's no more kedusha. There's never a get.
A Baal is a mikra. You created a relationship, you can break the relationship. When it comes to Averas, you're a Baal. You can do tshuva. You can destroy the Avera completely. Averas are things that could be destroyed through tshuva. Completely, nechisi ka'anam shaykha. But mitzvahs could never be destroyed. The most you could do is be toal rishon and you won't get shkar. You don't want the shkar, you won't get it. But the mitzvah is still there. You can destroy the mitzvah. Mitzvah is about matzias. So you're always a ben mitzvah. But you're not a ben avera, you're a bal avera. Meila ben olam haba is where you have a kesher that can't be broken. You've created that kesher olam haba and you don't lose it. What's come from? Shona halachas b'chol yom. So thinking what it means is not shona halachas kol yom. Shona halachas kol yom would mean you learn halachas every day. Shona halachas b'chol yom means from every day, whatever happens, you learn halacha. Whatever happens in the world, you hear the Rebbeinu Shem speaking to you and telling you halacha. Because nothing just happens like this. Whatever happens, you learn from God halacha. That kind of person, that whatever happens in the world, shema halacha is bichol yom. That kind of person is Vali Abdeno Lamaka. The ganzer Welt is Torah to him. Everything is Dvar Hashem. And could be that's another meaning of what Chazal say, Ein lakadosh baruch hu bi'olamo ledalet amos shel halacha b'levad. What does that mean? The Rebbeinu Shem is only machshav dalet amos shel halacha. First of all, is there only dalet amos shel halacha? Pashas, it means that the makom, where a person is sitting and learning halacha, is every person is kolel dalet amos. So wherever a person is sitting and learning halacha, that dalet amos is what the Rebbeinu Shem really considers in this world. If that's the case, why do you create everything else? What do you need? Eitzim and avonim and behemoth. Just create little telephone booths with shulchan aruchs, and everybody should sit in the telephone booth and learn. Besides that, it's also to do that. Because chayav al abadim v'noal. You can't learn yourself, you have to learn the chavrusas. You need at least 8 amas. So it should say shmona amas shal halacha. Right? Because you can't learn alone. So what's a dalet amas shal halacha? Think the pshat is, huh? But you still need, each one needs space. Right? You can't say anything just lack. The pshat, I think, is like this. The concept of dalet amos, kinyan dalet amos, the chazal were mesaked, right, is that anything within my dalet amos, if I'm a chavin, that I should be calm, I'm calm with dalet amos. Why? What's a svara? Because a person sholeit on the area around him, if you get down on the ground, and you become the radius of a circle, so you can re-stretch out and make a circle around you that has a radius of dalet amos. So Mela, your shlita from you being in the center is all dalet amos all around. So anything in that area is within your control. Mela, dalet amos shel halacha means something that may not be a halacha mefureshes, but it's within the shlita of halacha. That's Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know how the bunch looks at the world, everything, the animals and the plants and everything, is either a halacha mefureshes, or it's dalet amos shel halacha. It's within the purview. It's within the shlita of halacha. That's how you look at the world. That's how the Rebbeinu Shem looks at his world. And every single thing in the world, everything that happens, shema halacha is bichol yom. Everything you see, every animal, every tree, you're supposed to learn something from it and see a shlichus from the Rebbeinu Shem. You're supposed to see a halacha. That's dalet amos shel halacha. In order to do that, you first have to know that the Rebbeinu Shem is talking to you, not Stam talking. Where do we find that? Torah says that after Cain brought his carbon and it was rejected, and Hevel brought his carbon and it was accepted, so Cain was very upset. So the Rebbeinu Shem came and did the first Musar Shmuz in history to Cain. Lama Nachlu Panecha. Basically, the Rebbeinu Shem told Cain, don't be so upset. You can be miskaber, and if you make do things better, you'll do tshuva, and everything will be okay. So right after that, it says, "Vayomer Cain al Hevel Achiv." Cain said something to Hevel. "Vayi b'yosem basoda," and then later on, they were in the field. "Vayokem Cain v'yaro b'sevel Achiv." So what's the sequence over here? right? The Rebbe Shem gives Musa to Kayin. Kayin says something to Hevel, and because of that, in the end, it kills him. So the Medrashim and Medrashim and Medrashim of what Kayin said to Hevel. We don't know. Right? It's Chosim and Asefer. It's a Torah about that. Comes and tells us. They were arguing over who's going to get the Beis HaMikdash, who's going to get Eretz Yisrael, or who will get the Metalpilim, and who will get the Karkos. So they had an argument. Because of that, they argued until Kayin says Hevel. But what's a Pshut or something? What's a Pshut Pshat? When I read any Midrashim, what did Kayin say Hevel? It's got to be Nukach in the passage. Says the Ibn Ezra. Pshut.
Kayin went and told Hevel the Musar that Rabban Shem just told him. Rabban Shem gave him a Shmuz. And he went and he told Hevel that Rabban Shem just told me this Shmuz or whatever. And then he killed him. There's only one problem. Now the sequence doesn't fit. If they were arguing and he went and told him something they were arguing, I understand. That caused him to kill him. But if he went and told him the Musar that Rabban Shem just told him, why should that be the Siba that he killed him in the end? Doesn't fit. Told him the Musar, he told it over to Hevel, and now he kills him. Doesn't seem to be a cause and effect over here. That's the pshat. Kayin should have listened to the Musar and say, you know, the Rabban Shem is telling me Musar, I have to think about it, I have to be makabel it. You know what Kayin said? That's a great Musar Shmuz. But if that doesn't mean me, I don't need that Musar. There's only one person left. I'm not going to tell my parents the Musar. So there's only my brother, Mistami, he has to hear it. So Mistami, it's a good word, right, that the Rabban Shem wanted to tell me, so I should get along with my brother. And since Kayin didn't hear the Rabban Shem was talking to him, he thought he's talking to him, the heaven needs this, not me. Right? He really gave it to them good. So, merely, he ended up killing him. Had he taken it and understood the Rabban Shem was talking to you, he's not talking to heaven. Talking to you, then it would have made a bigger difference. You know, as a younger lad in Miami, so I read Balabatim that I felt I needed to tell Musa to, but they were older than me, and I was younger than them, and I felt intimidated. So I figured if I say it in my drasha, and I don't say who I'm talking to, I just say it general, they'll get the message. Right? They know what happened, they know the Maisa, they know it applies to them. I speak about the Indian Bichlalos, in a very strong way, and they get the message. That's what I thought. Inevitably, whenever I tried this, at the end of davening, the person who I meant, didn't speak about specifically, but meant, would come to say good Shabbos with a big smile on his face, and inevitably say to me, Rabbi, you really gave it to them. I hope the person who needed that must have got the message. And I wanted to tell him, I'm sure he didn't. It was you. Once, not in Miami, I was in South Africa. And there I didn't know anybody. Come on. At least that first time. I gave a shiur to women. About 300 women. On a weekday morning. The women, they have nothing to do. They have servants or whatever. So they were free. So about 300 women, maybe 350 women came to the shiur. I spoke about sneers. And in the shiur I mentioned something, a type of dress or whatever, that I felt was not similar, and that people don't realize. And just in passing. Before the end of this year, a note is passed up. Dear Rabbi Lev, I apologize for coming to the shiur the way that I did. I was in a rush to get to the shiur on time and I picked the first thing I could. I promise you I will not wear this kind of dress again. Now, I didn't know anybody there. I really wasn't mocked to see what the women were wearing or not wearing as they came in. I didn't have a kavan about anybody. I just said it in general. But here's a woman who heard that I was talking to her. That's the opposite of kind. That's the kind of person who listens to Musa. Right? Not they mean them. You gave it to them. You're talking to me. Right? That's the way a person has to listen to Musa. That's how I listen to the world too. Right? The world talks to you. History talks to you. Things that happen in the world. We'll see that the birds, the trees, the Ashamayim is shopping for tail. Everything's talking. Shabbos, who's talking to? You have to hear it's talking to you. It means you. Shemayim Misakrim Kvotel. You look up to the heavens, the Rebbe Moshe is talking to you. Misakrim Kvotel. Right? But you have to hear they're talking to you. Perek Shira. The Mabit says, doesn't mean that dogs say this, and cats say this, and the rocks say this, and trees say this. They're not Mishabeach Hashem, we're Mishabeach the Rebbe Moshe. Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, and why do we say, Haninu Lelekim Uzeinu An Yom Chamishi? Today is Shir Shalom, Haninu Lelekim Uzeinu.
Because on Yom Chamishi, Nivru dag in the Ophos, L'Shabeach L'Shmo. Fish and birds were created L'Shabeach L'Shmo. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, doesn't mean that the fish and the birds say Shevach to the Rabban Shom. Tishab Bnei Adam Reim, dag in the Ophos, Mishim in Zem Yizem, Nesim Shevach, L'Mishabaram. We give the Shevach. They evoke that Shevach from us. So it's as if they're talking to us and telling us Shevach of the Rabban Shom. But we have to hear it. We're the ones who give the Sheva. That's part of Shiva, says the Mabit. And if you listen to the Bria, and you listen to history, and you listen to current events, and you listen to the Shemayim, and everything around you, then you could become a Rebbe Kiva. Now Rebbe Kiva became Rebbe Kiva, Medrash says. Because he saw Avon Shech HaKumayim, erosion. You all, you're Americans, you all went to high school, no, you learned science. So you learned about erosion, right? The water drips on stones, it could make holes in the stones after hundreds of years, right? Even less time than that. How many of you became Rebbe Akiva because you learned erosion? You probably learned it a lot deeper than Rebbe Akiva. But Rebbe Akiva saw that water can do to stones, and he made a kind of homer. If water, which is so soft, can erode stones that are so hard, and Torah, which is so hard, can surely make erosion on my heart, and it's not too late. And he became Rabbi Akiva because of that. So where did he learn that halacha from? Not in the Beis Medrash. He learned that halacha from water dripping on a stone. From what he saw in the Bria. If you're astute, and you look, and you hear the Rabban Hashem talking to you through all these cases, and you know he's talking to you, and you don't have to go to stones, and you don't have to go to Shemayim, and you don't have to go to whole person Dagen, you could be alone in a room, and the Rebbeinu Shem is still talking to you. We're going to say soon, it's almost early. L'cho ma'libi bakshu panay, es panach Hashem avakesh. That's the fact. L'cho ma'libi bakshu panay. Say to Hashem. L'cho means bishvilcho, bishvichu secho. In your shvichos, my heart says to me, bakshu panay. My heart speaks to me in the name of the Rebbeinu Shem, and the heart tells me, Bakshu Panai, so said David HaMelech. I guarantee you, if you go to a doctor's office, and he puts a stethoscope at your heart, and he hears Bakshu Panai, he'll faint on the spot, and send you immediately to the emergency room. That's not what your heart is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be going, love God, love God. So what's that? David HaMelech says, my heart's talking to me, and it's telling me, in the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom, Bakshu Panai, because that's what David HaMelech heard. He didn't hear love God. But that beating of the heart is the abundance. I'm telling you, I'm giving you life. I'm giving you another minute of life. More blood goes into your body. What's the meaning? Bakshu Panai. That's what you're living for. David HaMelech didn't hear the thump of his heart. He heard Bakshu Panai. Other people hear it, just thumps. So you can be alone in a room and just listen to your heartbeat. And you can hear the abundance. I'm talking to you. If you know what he says, and you know he's talking to you. He's not talking to somebody else. That's why Chazal say, if a person says Shema Shema, is Meshaskin or so, just like you say Modin Modin, because it's Nirik Ishtay Vashiyos. That's a very difficult Gemara. Modin Modin, I understand. I say Modin Modin. So that's for sure. I'm speaking about being Modin to one resource and Modin to another God. Sounds like two gods. But Shema is not going under the Ben Shalom. It's going on the person. Shema Yisrael. So if I say Shema, Shema, how does that match with those two Yeshuyos? The Rebbeinu Shem is not two. He's telling to two people, Shema, two listenings. What does that do with two Yeshuyos? And the answer is, there's only one thing to hear in this Bria. And that's Kol Hashem. Hashem is Echad, and everything in the Bria is on one channel. There's not a lot of channels. There's one channel. It's all the Rebbeinu Shem's channel. And if you hear two channels, you hear a Shema Shema, then obviously there's two Yeshuyas. Because you're getting two messages, and there aren't two messages. All one message. It's all one channel. That's that Shema Shema. That's why a person has to see the Bria as a Hemshech of Torah. Can't see it as something separate. Shiva, gift is itself. So the Pshat in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Haholot Baderech V'Shomer. Matsik mi talud al haomer, ma yofa ilan zeh, ma noa nir zeh, ha reza nishvai benashe. So normally you learn that it's difficult Torah. He's in the middle of learning Torah and he stops. Even to say, my God, my Sefer Hashem, that's Bikkur Torah, and it's Chayav B'Nafshei. So she'll explain a little bit differently. So the person is learning, and then he observes the Bria, and he thinks that's not something different than learning. The Bria is one thing, Torah is a different thing. He doesn't realize that the Bria is a chayav of Torah. The same Torah governs the Bria too. The same Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's not something different. His matzik mitanuda, he separates the Torah from the Bria, is Mishkai B'Nafshei. The Torah and the Bria are one thing. That's what the Rambam says. You can come to Hakoras Hashem. Your heart does Hashem Elokecha. How? Behold you have Vorma Eila. Tamid Torah. That's what the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvos. In Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says, how does a person come to Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem? By observing the Bria. So, which is it? And besides that, the Rambam says you can come to Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem by observing the Bria, and the Torah says not like that. Torah says, "Pen tisoy necha shamayma, v'ro'isos Hashemesh v'yesereach v'sakuchodim, v'nidachta v'shtachavisho lehem." You come to Avos Zora from studying the Bria. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to create the world, so he created with a base. So the Aleph came and complained. Why are you creating the world with a base? Bereishis bar Elokim. Created with an Aleph. Elokim bar Bereishis. Start with me. The answer is I can't. Because base is Lashon Baruch and Aleph is Lashon Orah. I can't start the Bria with an Orah. But don't worry. When I come to give the Torah, you'll be first. Anochi Hashem Elokecha with the Aleph. Very difficult Medrash. Maral says a hell of a difficult Medrash. It's a tragedy. Like Manashit. If you can't start the Bria with an Aleph because it's Lashon Orah, how can you start Matan Torah with an Aleph? It's also Lashon Orah. And besides that, Aleph could be Elohim too. Not just Orah. So, what's... Let's make it a chat like this. Enoch and Ami. You always need two brachim to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Torah, and you can also hear in the Bria, Shlichus Hashem, Leich Kishilach Hashem. Everything that happens, everything you see, you can understand that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is talking to you. But there's a very big difference between the two. From the Bria, you can also come to Apikursis, if you don't hear it properly. The first Soviet cosmonaut, first man in space, was in 1959, I think, 59 or 60. And I remember I was in high school in Miami, in Sifter, and we were listening, mamas on the radio, it was a historic thing, first man in space. Went out, three orbits, came back to Earth. He was a Russian cosmonaut called Yuri Gagarin. When he got out of his space capsule, so he made the following idiotic statement. He said, now I know there is no God. I didn't see him. Now whatever he thought he was going to see, you know, an old man on a chair floating in space, but he didn't reach the ceiling. Right? You know, there was a little bit of space still above. Maybe he was floating above him. Okay, but he was told to say that by the atheistic Soviet government, and that's what he got out of his space mission. It was a space mission by Americans. Apollo mission in the 1970s, and they took pictures, live TV pictures of the Earth from space, and sent it, broadcast it to the entire Earth via satellites. The whole world could see what the Earth looked like from space. And before they did it, before they broadcast this broadcast, they said to Hillel, Hashemayim Mishakim Kol Kiel. The entire Kapitel Kiel. He's a great. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Mamisha. Kiddush Hashem. So here are Goyim that take a space experience and turn it into Kiddush Hashem and Muna Bashem. And here's a guy who turns it into Kfira. So looking at the Bria and trying to get the message is very dangerous. So you have to have first the Torah. The Torah, Hamor Sheba Mazel Amutah. If you learn Torah, if you want to learn Torah, the Torah will guide you properly. So first you have to feel Mole Kreso the Torah. And then if you look at the Bria, you look at the Bria through the lens, through the eyes of Torah, you'll see the Ribbono Shel Olam. You hear the Ribbono Shel Olam talking in your heart, and the birds and the trees and the arose and everything. But if you don't have Torah first, and you look at the Bria without Torah, then you can come to Kfira from the Bria. That's why the Torah always has to be the Aleph. Torah's Aleph. Or no, the Bria's base. After you have the Torah. And the Torah can start with Aleph. Because the Torah will push you towards an Olam and not Olam. But if the Bria starts with an Aleph, it's going to be an Olam, not a Bar. The Bria, you have to be Mechuvan. You have to have Hachvan. You have to be shown that Bracha. By the Torah, it'll turn out to a Bracha by itself. And it'll show you how to look at the Bria. So the Torah always comes first, and the Bria always comes second. That's why in Birchas Kriyashma, the first Bracha speaks about the Bria. Because the Bria came from Isa before Matan Torah. So we speak about Tameh La'aretz, V'ladvarim Aleh Barachamim, Yotzer Oro Vorei Choshech, right? All of the Bria is the first Bracha. The second Bracha is Torah, right? Avarabba, the same belief, Bein Olahavim, Olahaskim. The Bracha on Bria starts with a Beis, Baruch Atah Hashem. The Bracha on Torah starts with an Aleph, Avarabba, Avasola. Because the Torah, even if it, Matan Torah came later than the Bria, but the Matan Torah is Aleph, the Bria is always based. I think there's another minig we have. We say in the winter, Borchi Nafshi, between Mincha and Maariv Shabbos, and the summer, Yom Pirkei Avos. What's the reason? Thinking that you always need these two drachim Tavas Hashem. You need the Torah, and you need the Bria. So in the summer, in the winter, the Bria isn't evident. Everything's hibernating. So you have to substitute the Bria because the Derech isn't there in the world. So we say Baruch Hinafshi, which speaks about the Bria. Torah, on the other hand, is strong at night, in the winter, because the nights are long. So in the winter, you have to substitute, you have to supplement the Derech HaBria, so we say Baruch Hinafshi. Shabbos Mincha is Avas Hashem, so you want to get to Ava, you need the Bria and the Torah. Torah is there, Bria is not, you say Baruch Hinafshi. In the summer, it's just the opposite. The nights are short, so there's not so much Torah. But the Bria is in full bloom. So you don't have to do anything about the Bria, but you have to do something about Torah. You have to learn Pirkei Avos. It speaks about the godless of Torah. So that's mashlin that derech. Baruch Hinafshi starts with a base, and Avos starts with an Aleph. The Torah is always the Aleph. And the Bria is always the base. The Bria only helps if you look at it through the filter of Torah. You look at it through eyes of Torah. You look at it with eyes without Torah, you'll see clearly. So that's how to be able to look at the Bria properly. Taka, both Derachim lead you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Derech HaBria only leads you after you have the Derech HaTorah. After you're steeped in Torah and you're a Ben Torah and you have eyes of Torah, then you can see the Bria in a way that teaches you to see the Ribbono Shel Olam also. And with all of this, you need to think. It doesn't just happen by itself. You need his boldness. Rabbi Akiva just didn't see erosion and became Rabbi Akiva. He thought about it. And he thought deeply about it. He thought what the message was. And he followed the message. It took a tremendous amount of his boldness. And without his boldness, all these things pass you by. You don't see anything. You don't learn anything. Not from Torah, not from the Bria, not from anything. The whole world passes you by. And that's why the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Navi says, came because Ami lo hisbonon. Didn't think. If you don't think, then nothing makes an impression. If nothing makes an impression, then you end up chet achar chet achar chet. So Yitzhak Hashem, if we want that churban, the churban of our generation, the churban bichlal that was going, all those churbanos, all the churbanos in history, come because of churban beis hamikdash. If we want that churban beis hamikdash to be rectified, and then all the other churbanos will be rectified too. And all those Gedolei Olam and Kedoshim were that by Tzvi Sameisim. We'll be able to learn directly from them. So if we want that, we need to be Mishbonim. We need to follow the lesson of Kedoshei Tells, the idea of Malchus and Shlita, and to use that Shlita to be able to see in everything in the Bria, and everything that we encounter, Leich Kishilachecho Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who is giving us a Shlichus to everything that we see and we do. And if we'll
remember and utilize both of these lessons so that we can learn from both Kedoshei Kelos who were Ne'arag al Kiddush Hashem and those who were spared to be able to be mamshich the Nesora and the Malchus of Kelos Viter, learn that lesson both from the Churban and from the Yeshua, then we'll be able to be mamshich also that Nesora and be those kinds of people that are Malachim, Malachim over ourselves, Malachim that are able to know how to see the Rabban Shalom Shlichus and everything, and that way we'll go Le'ela Le'ela to be Emeser B'nei Torah, Emeser Talmidei Chachamim, who will bring Taka Torah, and the Shlus HaTorah, Ki Yitnu Bagoyim Ato HaKatzim, and the Shlus HaTorah, that will be the Shlus HaGa'ula B'nei Rav Yomim.